on the moon and look for the gold in a rainbow, and you'll find happy times.
Welcome to the fourth episode of Shortwave Weekly. I am your host, Chris Freitas. In this episode, we're going to have some interesting things going on for you today. One of the things we'll have today is our radio guide, which on a weekly basis, I will be talking about a current station's program lineup. And this week, we're going to have Radio Netherlands. Now, you may be wondering, okay, they don't broadcast in North America, but however, they do still broadcast on shortwave, and you can hear them on the internet. And I looked at their program guide, which I get every time they switch their frequencies, and has some pretty interesting programs there. So I want to share that with you. We also have some shortwave news, thanks to Media Network. Along with that, we have a review of the Sony ICF 7600GR, my own personalized review. Since I have the receiver, I figure I'll go ahead and tell you more about it. And also, many people have been questioning whether or not it's a good radio or not, so I'll give you my 2 cents on that. And we will have our clip of the week, which this week, the clip is from The Voice of Croatia. So keep it tuned here to Shortwave Weekly. We got some great stuff coming for you today. Let me start off first with our radio guide. Well, actually, let me start off first with some shortwave radio news, thanks to Media Network on the Radio Netherlands website. First bit of news, family radio tests via Madagascar at 1200 UTC have ended, and this is as of yesterday by Andy Sinit. Test transmissions of family radio via the RNW Madagascar relay station at 1200 to 1300 UTC have started on October 27th, have now ended. The regular transmissions of family radio will continue as scheduled, and the test transmission at 1700 to 1800 UTC on 9515 kHz continues until further notice. Another bit of news. Aziri paper says Radio Liberty resumes broadcasts on Turkcell, and this information comes from the Text of Information Department report by Azerbani, probably mispronounced that, the Azerbaijani opposition newspaper, and this is from November 10th. Broadcasts of Radio Liberty's Aziri service, which were suspended on Turkcell around a fortnight ago, resumed on November 7th. The director of the Aziri service, Kenan Kazimoglu, I can't pronounce that name, K-A-Z-I-M-O-G-L-U. If you could pronounce that, I hope you can. I'm sorry if this is mispronounced, but I'll spell it out. People mispronounce my last name a lot, so you're fine with mispronouncing Freitas if you want, but, the director of the Aziri service has confirmed the report. Problems with broadcasting on Turkcell have been resolved. In fact, it was not clear that the problem was. What is important is that the problem has been resolved and the broadcasts have resumed. The broadcast resumed on Turkcell, but on a different frequency. We hope the broadcast will continue without problems. According to the information we received from our private sources, Radio Liberty broadcasts have resumed on a frequency belonging to Turkey's well-known Dogan Media Group. The management of the group, which includes well-known media organizations like Kanal D, Star TV, and D Smart, is in opposition to the Turkish government. A court proceedings between Turkish Prime Minister and the Dogan management was in media spotlight for a long time. Another report says that Radio Liberty may start functioning as Liberty TV sometime in the future. There's been talk about this for a long time, but now the discussions have become serious. Some steps are expected to be taken into this direction after the owner of the Dogan Media Group, who is currently said to be visiting the U.S., returns. We reported on the real reasons behind the suspicion of both Radio Liberty and Voice of America broadcasts on Turkcell in our previous issues. We said that the Azerbaijani authorities had a hand in this. During the Turkish foreign minister visit on October 22nd, officials took advantage of tension between the two countries and asked for both radio channels to be taken off Turksat. For his part, this was passed on to Erdogan. Broadcasts on both radio channels on Turksat were suspended. And this is source is actually from page 2 via BBC Moderating. There is one more piece of news for you, and that is YLE's cost-cutting plan may cut channels. The Finnish broadcasting company, YLE, may be forced to cut back its broadcasting channels. The company will first try to slash cuts through other means due to the drop in funding expected in the next few years. YLE must save 31 million euros by the end of 2012. The TV license fee has not been increased as much as the company's leadership expected. In addition, the introduction of the media fee, which is intended to replace the TV license fee, is expected to result in much less money for the public broadcaster. YLE's director, General Mikhail Janger, does not want to take any speculations yet on whether the company will have to resort to cutting jobs or channels. For the moment, the broadcaster is focusing on ordering fewer programs from external services and giving up some of its expensive sports broadcasting rights. In addition, staff levels will be reduced through natural attrition, and Janger admits, however, that if these and other measures do not work, YLE will have to consider cutting down on its radio and television channels. And the source is from YLE. And now, I'm going to play a clip for you. This is from The Voice of Croatia. This was recorded at 0300 UTC on the frequency 7375 kilohertz. I hope you enjoyed that clip. That was some pretty interesting music. I actually had another clip to play for you. Unfortunately, I accidentally deleted it off my iPod Touch, which I used to record all of this. So it had a pretty good description of the frequencies they were broadcasting on, and I accidentally deleted it. But at least there was some musical background you can enjoy for about a minute and a half. And now, I want to give you my review of the Sony ICF-7600GR. Now, I've came in across to this radio back at the beginning of September. I ordered it off of Amazon.com. Now, previous to this, I had owned and still own the Grundig G5, or actually, it's the Eaton E5. It's not a Grundig receiver, but they're, well, tomato, tomato. But I did manage to pick up the Sony ICF 76GR for one reason and one reason only. The synchronous detection. Now, some of you may wonder, what in the world is that? I thought of that myself when I first came across that. Well, the synchronous detection, what it's designed to do is, if there is interference on adjacent frequency that you're listening to, and you want to remove it, the synchronous detection will switch it out, the interference, with another band. And currently AM frequencies are broadcast in AM mode, like AM radio and shortwave, as well as maybe a few other types of broadcasts in that similar fashion. And this radio, what it does with the synchronous detection, with the two bands together, the synchronous detection, whatever side you have it on, will replace it with another, with the other band that does not have the interference. This also cuts down on fading and distortion. It doesn't completely eliminate it, but it does a good job with eliminating, reducing, or if it's good enough, it will eliminate some of the interference and fading. Doesn't necessarily quite eliminate the fading. It does reduce it, however. And I've noticed a big difference when using that receiver compared to the G5 or E5, whatever it is. It's all the same to me. But in terms of sensitivity, it picks up stations fairly decently. Right off the telescoping antenna, I could pick up a lot of good stations, even here in Memphis, where it's a city and there's a lot of a lot of interference with inside my home with all electrical devices that I own. But I'm still able to pick up some pretty good stations and pretty good distances too, may I add. Just recently, I picked up Radio Australia early in the morning at about 1100 UTC. Trying to remember the frequency. I think it's 9820 kilohertz. Maybe wrong. Let me see. I think it's that. Let me see. 9580 kilohertz. And it comes in pretty well, and I was rather surprised to even catch it loud and booming early in the morning. So, is it a good radio in terms of reception? It is. It is a good radio, but it also depends. Your reception will depend on weather, solar fluctuations and ionosphere, all the stuff that we currently experience with shortwave. Those still apply, but on a normal operating basis, it works very well. It's excellent in reception. There's also an intuner, which also helps eliminate interference. But I thought this worked very well with FM frequencies. The radio also includes full shortwave radio coverage. It has also long wave, AM, and FM frequencies, which you could turn into. And pretty much anything that's it's digital receiver. It has a PLL synthesizer, which helps eliminate some of the noise and distortion on shortwave receivers these days. And most digital radios now will include a PLL synthesizer. And overall, I thought it was slightly better than the G5 and E5. And if you don't already own these radios, which one would you rather get? Honestly, would get the Sony ICF-76GR. Because it slightly outperforms it just a little bit. Now, if you only have enough for the E5, I suggest you get it. That, too, is a good radio, and it pretty much performs about just the same as the ICF in terms of receiving signals and sensitivity and whatnot. But the thing that outstands it, the Sony outstands from the Eden Grundig receiver, is the sync detection. And it locks on to that frequency once you have it. It won't fade away. So if I had to get a receiver, it would be the Sony ICF-76GR. And you could find that on Amazon.com, or you could probably also find it at UniversalRadio.com. I would check those sites out, and it retails for roughly $150. You may find it cheaper on eBay or on the sites, but just give it a try out, and you can say that Chris Freitas sent you, and they'll probably like, who? Anyway, okay, that's my personalized review, however short it was. It's a good radio, and you can find a full-size review pretty much anywhere on the internet, but also on the Passport to World Band Radio books while they're still in publication, which may not come to fruition next year, but we'll see on that, and I'll give you the news on that once that comes out. Alrighty then, well, now it's time for the radio guide, which I will be showcasing Radio Netherlands. Now, at this time last year, Radio Netherlands stopped their North American transmissions, which upset a lot of people, including myself, but you could still hear their transmissions in the afternoon, as well as on the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they also have podcasts as well, where you can download them and put them on your iPod or MP3 player. Now, you also could listen to them on satellite radio and of course, internet radio through WRN or through Radio Netherlands itself. In case you want to figure out what times they're broadcasting, I'm going to give you this information. In the Asia area, if you're able to receive Asian broadcasts, or if you live in Asia, you can hear Radio Netherlands on at these times and frequencies at 1000 to 1100 UTC on 9720 kHz and the 31 meter band. You can also hear it at the same time on 12065. This is geared to Southeast Asia, this frequency, 12065 kHz. Also at the same time to East Asia at 6040 kHz. Then at 1400 to 1600 UTC in South Asia, you can hear it on 12080 kHz. Then again at the same time at 15595 kHz. And to Africa, which probably will be better for North American listeners to try to be able to hear their frequencies that are being transmitted to Africa. And these are during the afternoon hours here. At 1800 to 1900 UTC, this is towards South Africa, at 6020 kHz. From 1800 to 2000 UTC to East Africa, you can hear them on 12045 kHz. And again at the same time to East and Central Africa at 11655 kHz. 1900 to 2000 to West Africa on 12080 kHz. 1900 to 2100 to Central and Southern Africa at 7425 kHz. And 20 to 2100 UTC to West Africa, you can hear them on 11655 and 21525 kHz. And those are on shortwave radio. Now, the programming I wanted to tell you about, which really stood out, was that they have added a lot more programming, which was I was a bit surprised, especially to Mondays. On Monday, you have Curious Orange, but you also have Classic Docs. And what that is a documentary program from their archives, which talks about various topics such as human rights, development of arts, culture, and history, as well as some insightful and moving personal stories that have won several awards at international festivals. And this is straight from their brochure, and you can check this out at www.rnw.nl/english/radio-program/classic-docs. And this is on Mondays, UTC. Along with that, there are two other programs which I found really interesting. Live at the Concert Gay I can't. It's a concert series. They have a concert series, which I thought is really awesome. And I've actually tuned in. It's very classical music. It was very rather enjoyable, I must say. And then right after that is Jazz World. Now, I work at the radio station WMR, which is located here in the University of Memphis campus, and they play jazz. And so I've been exposed to enough jazz as it is, but I like this show too. It has plays a lot of great jazz hits around the world, and very many jazz musicians, you'll hear them. And this is also on Monday. So aside from the traditional Radio Netherlands programming, this is the only ones that stand out. Classic Docs, Live at the Concert, and Jazz World. Those are the new programs on for this season. Then you have other programs such as The State We're In, Midweek on Tuesday, Reloaded on Wednesday, Thursday Earth Beats, Friday Bridges with Africa, and Saturday The State We're In Weekend Edition, and then on Sunday Network Europe and Radio Books. And Newsline is pretty much on Tuesdays through Fridays. And you can check this out, the weekly guide. You can check this out on their website at www.rnw.nl. And the way I listen to Radio Netherlands, I have a Shoutcast app on my iPod Touch, in which you can find Radio Netherlands on there and listen to them 24 hours a day. And I figure, well, if I can't hear them on shortwave, because I'm usually in school during the time in which they're broadcasting at this particular time, I tune in using that app, and it's been really helpful. So, and it comes in pretty decent quality too, so much better quality. So you can tune in through that, even though they don't broadcast the shortwave anymore. There are other ways you can listen into Radio Netherlands that you're pretty much forced to listen in because they no longer broadcast on shortwave. Thank you, Radio Netherlands. And that is the program guide for this week. And next week, I will showcase Radio Taiwan. I really like that, really like Radio Taiwan. And they got some really interesting programs. And I will, if you don't already know Radio Taiwan, I'll give you some information about that. And to my next item, I will be giving out, listener feedback. I've gotten two emails over the past few days, or last week rather, by two people. And these are all email. The first person who emailed me was Kevin O'Donovan. And he writes, "Dear Chris, I stumbled across your blog and podcast. It's great to see a young person talk about this hobby. I'm 32 and have been listening to shortwave since I was a kid. Write and record a 30-minute DX segment for KBS World Radio in Korea on Saturdays. I mainly focus on loggings, schedule changes, XM Sirius radio news, internet radio, receiver news, and some ham radio news. In the past, I was quite sad to see stations leaving shortwave, but I've been able to adapt to other mediums. Many stations, including KBS World Radio, are on the World Radio Network, which can be heard on Sirius and XM, and also on Shoutcast Internet Radio. And I love my iPod Touch. One great app is Wonder Radio. Thousands of internet stations at your fingertips. And I believe that app actually costs some money. I think it's $2.99 on iTunes, but you can also get Shoutcast, which pretty much works the same way. Anyway, just wanted to chime in, keep up the great work, and stay in touch. Also have a personal blog, http://jazzkevin.blogspot.com. I do need to update that soon. Warm regards, Kevin O'Donovan from New Mexico, USA. And the last email I got was from a guy from Chicago, Illinois, in the U.S. His name is Pete Johnson. Basically, he wanted to share some contact information, and I shared it with him on Skype, and I got to talk to him for a few minutes. I wish I had a recorded interview from him. If I hear from him again, I will try to get an interview from him. He was very interesting. We talked about what he wanted to do was get in contact with some radio manufacturers, broadcasters, people in the media. And what he was trying to do was bring back some of the stations that were no longer broadcasting on shortwave to North America. Stations such as Radio Netherlands, Deutsche Welle, the BBC, all of those that could be heard on PRI and NPR here in the U.S. He wanted to try to bring those back on the shortwave and try to find any ways of means of funding, if not. It was a very interesting conversation. We talked about shortwave and those sort of things, and it was pretty good talking to him. And on the last bit of note here on Shortwave Weekly, I wanted to give a shout out to all of those who have joined the Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, you could join the group. It is Shortwave Weekly. You can just type that into the search bar on Facebook, and you can add yourself onto the page. You could post comments. You also can talk on the discussion board. You also post photos and videos. I posted several videos of my shortwave findings, and those are available on Facebook as well. All right, here's all the people that have joined so far since Shortwave Weekly has started. Terry Jones, I mentioned her several times here on the podcast. She is from the University of Memphis. She is on the group. Keith Perrone from the Happy Station Show on WRMI. He is also on a group. Brian M. Wilson, he's a friend of mine at the University of Memphis, journalism student. He is here on the group. Professor Chris Markman from the University of Memphis. Dave Jeffrey from Buffalo, New York. Aha, yes, my Uncle Mike, Michael Sinkoff from Windsor, Connecticut. He is on Shortwave Weekly. Rick Barton from Phoenix, Arizona is on the page. He's also a fan. General Manager of WMR, Malvin Massey Jr. Michael Wergzeka, I hope I pronounced your name correctly. I actually know another Michael that has the same name spelled just as you. And she is actually tuned in, so I want to give a shout out to her as well. Michael Warsica and Michael Summers. She is not part of the group yet, but hopefully she will. Please join. anyway, other people here. Jonathan Murphy. Excuse me, Jonathan Murphy. That was a weird fluctuation in my voice. I don't know how that got there. Anyway, he is here. Qinglin Wu, he is from China. I got to speak to him a few times on Facebook. So he is on here. And please forgive me for mispronouncing this name. Shanantu P. Eximbekar. Shanantu Eximbekar. Hope I pronounced your name correctly. If not, I am very sorry. He is now on a group here on Facebook. Peter De Souza is on here. He actually mentions something here. He says, "Greetings, I am in the market for portable, digitally tuned shortwave radio and was wondering what would be better of the two, Grundig G6 or the Kato 1102. Which would you buy, assuming the budget is under $150? And several have chimed in into that, and hopefully that answered your question. I even chimed in since I own both the Sony receiver and E5, and hopefully that answers your question. Who else is on here? Jonathan Lentz. He remembers the Association of North American Radio Clubs, the ANRC, and held annually 3-day radio conventions. Patrick Bakley from Columbia, South Carolina. Terry Wilson, Stacy Foos. I hope I pronounced that name correctly. Stacy Foos. I guess that would be sound as moose, but that's the way I could figure that out. But Stacy Foos is on the group. Brian Harper from Indianapolis, Indiana. Rick Penagos from Boise, Idaho. Rocky S. Robello, Eastern Idaho, in Indiana? Or Idaho? Boise. Yeah, it's Idaho. See, I need to get back with state abbreviations here. And finally, James McCollum. They are all on the Shortwave Weekly group. And you can join also, too. And just type in, if you're on Facebook, just type in Shortwave Weekly in the search bar and click the add button that is all on here. And if you want to find out more information on Shortwave Weekly that you probably don't need to know more about, aside from Facebook, you can check out the blog page at www.shortwaveweekly.blogspot.com. And this has been Chris Freitas signing off, and I hope you will have a wonderful week. I'll try to get back next week with some more great shortwave radio news and information that will be pleasant to your ears. This is Chris Freitas signing off, and 73.